Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participant lines are in a listen-only mode. After today's presentation, you will have the opportunity to ask questions, and at that time, you may press star then one on your phone's keypad to ask a question. Today's conference call is being recorded. If you have objections to this, please disconnect at this time. Now, I will turn the call over to your host for today, Dr. Sushil Prasad. Doctor, you may begin.
Hello. Thank you for the interest in this revised cyber training solicitation. We are very excited. I'm Sushil Prasad, a program director in CISA's Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, or OAC. I'm a rotator from Georgia State University, now completing my third year at NSF. We launched the cyber training solicitation last year to fill the gap in education and training space for our current and future research workforce in advanced cyber infrastructure and in computational data science. Unexpectedly, we had an excellent response with 40 unique proposals. Out of those, we could award 12 projects. Today, I will summarize key aspects of the cyber training solicitation, pointing out the revisions to the solicitation and a few new submission requirements. I have with me a few other program directors, as the solicitation has participation from many directorates. We'll also mention various directorates' programmatic areas of interest. After our presentation, we'll take any questions. Next slide. The overarching goals of this program are to, first, prepare, nurture, and grow the current and future national scientific research workforce for creating, utilizing, and supporting advanced cyber infrastructure. Second, to ensure broad adoption of CI tools, methods, and resources by the research community to enable new modes of discovery. And third, to integrate core literacy and discipline appropriate advanced skills in advanced CI, as well as computational and data science and engineering, into the educational curriculum and instructional material fabric of the nation spanning undergraduates and graduate courses. Let me note that for the purpose of this solicitation, advanced cyber infrastructure, which I will refer to now on as also CI, is broadly defined as the resources, tools, and services for advanced computation, data handling, networking, and security. The solicitation calls for developing innovative, scalable training and education programs to address the emerging needs and unresolved bottlenecks in scientific and engineering research workforce development from the post-secondary level to active researchers. The target communities at various stages of their career pipeline comprise the undergraduate and graduate students, researchers, and educators, as well as the CI professionals. Next slide. As part of this investment, the solicitation also seeks to broaden CI access and adoption, particularly by those scientific disciplines and institutions with lower level of CI adoption and harnessing the capabilities of larger segments of diverse underrepresented groups. Proposals involving these communities are especially encouraged. In the short term, we invite projects that will result in innovative, informal, as well as formal training models and pilot activities. These will complement and leverage the state of art in curricular offerings and best practices in academia and elsewhere. It is also the long-term goal that we are really excited about. The project should aim to contribute to the larger goal of an educational ecosystem, enabling computational and data science for all scientists and engineers. This embraces computation as a third pillar and data-driven science as the fourth pillar of the scientific discovery process, in addition to the traditional first and second pillars of theory and experimentation. As you can see, we are being very ambitious. Prospective principal investigators, or PIs, are strongly encouraged to engage all relevant stakeholders by forging alliances and forming backbones for what is known as collective impact. This is particularly necessary to address unresolved bottlenecks, such as to inform the development of forward-looking curriculum or instruction material for the research workforce organization. Therefore, each project shall have a board board of expert advisors or a network of funded or unfunded collaborators who can help to periodically scrutinize the project methods or to refine the curriculum and instructional material or to inform professional associations or other non-governmental organizations responsible for curriculum, accreditation, or professional examinations. Proposals shall articulate well-designed programs with potential for significant impacts, including serving as templates, and providing curricular and instructional materials that can be adopted by other institutions or larger communities or disciplines. The cyber training program is led by the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, or the OSCE. It also includes participation from the Division of Computing and Communication Foundation of SAIFS and a new participation from Big Data Regional Innovation Hubs and Spokes Program of SAIFS. It also has participation from the Division of Graduate Education and the Directorate of Education and Human Resources, as well as all the divisions within the Directorates of Engineering, Geosciences, Mathematical and Physical Sciences. Some of these directorates and divisions have specific programmatic areas of interest, while others welcome proposals that broadly enhance their research communities in consultation with the Cognizant Program Office. Therefore, the prospective PIs are strongly encouraged to contact the Cognizant Program Officers in OSCE as well as in the participating directors and divisions relevant to their proposals in order to ascertain whether the focus and the budget of proposed activities are appropriate for this solicitation.
One second. We realize that there may be some folks that are not able to see the slides. We're trying to ensure that we get them up and running at the moment. So please stay tuned. If you are unable to see the slides, we'll get it working shortly. You may continue.
Okay, let's continue. So let me highlight that an intent of the cyber training program is to stimulate co-funding between OSCE and one or more of the domain directors and divisions. So I'll just repeat that. Let me highlight that an intent of the cyber training program is to stimulate co-funding between OSCE and one or more directors and divisions. Next slide. Other revision highlights are as follows. To ensure relevance to the community needs and to facilitate adoption, those proposals of interest to one or more domain divisions must include at least one PI or co-PI with expertise relevant to the target research discipline. Likewise, all proposals shall include at least one PI or co-PI with expertise relevant to OSCE. Next, the definitions of the submission tracks are streamlined, which I will describe. Finally, the list of additional solicitation-specific review criteria is updated, and we'll go through that. The cyber training program focuses on three scientific communities and correspondingly offers three tracks for project submission. CI contributors, CIC, is the community of computational and data scientists and engineers who research and develop new CI capabilities and new approaches and methods. The CIC track is for the development of contributor-level CI skills and advanced domain skills. The target population spans graduate and undergraduate students, postdoctoral fellows, and researchers who are current and future CI contributors. CI users, or CIU, is the community of domain scientists and engineers who effectively exploit advanced CI capabilities and methods for their research. The CIU track is for the user-level core literacy in advanced CI skills, as well as in computational and data science and engineering skills. The target population spans undergraduate and graduate students, postdoctoral fellows, and researchers who are the current and future CI users. Finally, CI professionals, or CIP, is a community of research CI and professional staff who explore, develop, deploy, manage, and support effective use of research CI. The CIP track is for the development of technical and research CI professional skills of future CI professionals, including undergraduate and graduate students, postdoctoral fellows, and research scientists, and for skills refinement and career development of current CI professionals. Next slide. So as you conceive of novel training and educational activities, we'd like you to challenge you and your team to explore the following aspects for short-term impacts. First, preparing a better scientific research workforce for advanced CI-enabled research. Next, broadening adoption and accessibility both as users and contributors of shared computing and data resources by various disciplines, categories of institutions, and underrepresented groups. Third, developing or updating curricular or instructional material to feed into undergraduate and graduate courses, strategically advancing the goal of informing disciplinary or general educational core curriculum or instructional material, or informing discipline-appropriate curriculum and instructional material for advanced skill sets. As you see, this is a new short-term emphasis. Continuing on, creating alliances and backbones for collective impact, providing on-demand personalized accessibility, exploring innovative ways of drawing students into computational studies, X plus computing, and computing plus X, and finally, leveraging and contributing to NSF-funded CI and research projects such as XSEED, NanoHub, LIGO, and NHERI. Of course, not all projects will be addressing all these challenges. Training and education is a vehicle for achieving long-term goals while meeting short-term objectives. So in the longer term, you should explore how your project contributes to one or more of the following program goals. First, how does it contribute to an educational ecosystem enabling computational and data science for all scientists and engineers, with an understanding of computation as the third pillar and data-driven science as the fourth pillar of scientific discovery process? Or how does it contribute to re-envisioning the advanced CI ecosystem as an integral and enabling element of the scientific and engineering research enterprise? Or how it helps to establish deeper engagement with various disciplines, institutions, and underrepresented groups? Or finally, how it contributes to ubiquitous and scalable educational cloud infrastructure for online, dynamic, personalized lessons and certifications. Now, let's talk about the solicitation-specific review criteria. All proposals should have well-defined proposal elements which clearly address solicitation-specific review criteria shown here, in addition to addressing the intellectual merit and broader impact criteria. Reviewers are going to be asked to evaluate those aspects by answering the following questions. First, are the training, education, and research workforce challenges identified sound? Second, what is the potential of the project to enable new modes of discovery and use of advanced AI resources, tools and services in fundamental research? This is new. Third, how well would the project advance the goals of integrating skills in advanced CI as well as computational and data science and engineering into institutional and disciplinary curricular and instructional materials? This is also new. Fourth, to what extent can the project meet its broadening access and community adoption challenges? Fifth, how well would the project engage key stakeholders and force partnership for collective impact? This has a new emphasis. Next, what is the potential for the project to scale and its key aspects to be sustained beyond NSF funding? Are the plans for recruitment and evaluation sound? And finally, are the plans for management and collaboration effective? I do want to clarify that research and education is not the goal for this solicitation. So here is the FY18 award framework. Each cyber training award will range from $300,000 to $500,000 per award and will be up to 3 years in duration. The number of awards will be at least 7. A minimum budget of $3.5 million is expected, contingent upon the availability of funds. A budget can be higher, as in the last round, with possible co-funding from participating directorates and divisions. There are 3 tracks for submission, as I mentioned earlier. Your project can overlap tracks, but do identify your major thrust when you submit. The cyber training submissions are due by February 14, 2018. As I said earlier, the prospective investigators are strongly encouraged to contact the Cognizant program officers in OAC, that's me, and in participating divisions and directorates relevant to their proposal. This is to ascertain whether the focus and the budget of the proposed activities are appropriate for this solicitation. You typically can start consultation by sending an email to us with a one-page NSF-style project summary. Use cyber training in the subject line. We are asking that you complete such consultation at least a month in advance of the submission deadline. In the project summary, the principal investigators should include the names of the Cognizant program officers that they consulted with and who showed interest in their project. And finally, if you're not submitting a proposal and are interested in serving in the panels, review panels, please let us know as well by sending your expertise and a brief CV. Let me provide some example projects by track, serving only to exemplify the nature of 3 submission tracks. For CI professional track, there are 2 examples. Training and certification of CI professionals in cybersecurity technology and management for advanced CI-enabled research, or working with natural science researchers for advanced visualization or for supporting scientific gateways. For CI contributors track, examples can be training geoscience graduate students to develop scalable, parallel, and distributed software for high-performance computing, or training the next generation of researchers on the NHERI design-safe cyber infrastructure tools with holistic computational models for future adaptive buildings. And for CI users track, an example can be instructor training for computational science literacy across all STEM disciplines in minimum core topics. Another project can be software and data literacy for natural science students. In the solicitation, each participating division and directorate has included its programmatic areas of interest. Starting with OAC, it is concerned about all the 3 communities of CI professionals, CI contributors, and CI users, both current and future generation. OAC encourages proposals on technical and research CI professional skills, development of future CI professionals, as well as on skill refinement and career development of current CI professionals. OAC also encourages proposals relevant to the domain directorates for training as well as cross-training of the computational and data scientists and engineers who are current and future CI contributors in contributor-level CI topics, such as scalable scientific software development, modeling and simulation, and in advanced domain topics, such as domain-specific tools, data sets, and models. OAC is also interested in the larger goal of preparing the nation's scientific and engineering research workforce, well-versed in basic CI and computational and data science and engineering literacy. This CI user workforce preparation starts with undergraduate students across all disciplines and continues to the graduate students and postdoctoral fellows. particularly in disciplines and areas with low level of CI adoption. Examples of
there's the GM
slide.
You can do GM, right?
Yeah. So let me talk about the GEO directorate. Eva could not be here, so I'm going to summarize her slide. GEO is not highlighting specific areas in the context of this solicitation. There are four divisions within GEO: the Office of Polar Programs, the Division of Atmospheric and Geosciences, Geospace Sciences, the Division of Earth Sciences, and the Division of Ocean Sciences. GEO welcomes proposals in all three cyber training tracks that broadly enhance the GEO-relevant communities in these divisions in consultation with the Cognizant Program Office, and that is EVA. The next slide will be presented by my colleague Joe Culbertson, the Cognizant Program Officer for Engineering, CMMI Division.
Well, CMMI looks at cyber training as an important vehicle for training grad students, postdoctoral fellows, and our researchers to really catalyze new, potentially transformative fundamental research. We would like very much to enhance the community's capabilities to use advanced computation and data more effectively. We've listed in the solicitation a number of potential training topics. These are topics that have come up in a number of proposals where our community has not been as knowledgeable about some of these key topics as they could have been. So they range from effective use of parallel computing methods to integration of different models and multi-scale modeling, model validation and coupling models and experimental data, uncertainty quantification, effective software development processes, effective data mining techniques and the integration of different types of data, efficient extraction of dynamic models and real-time model updating using very large data sets, and real-time finite horizon-constrained optimal control, such as model predictive control systems for complex dynamic systems. So we're interested in supporting the development and use of CI tools and their integration into the CMMI domain research. And so what we'll really be looking for is proposals that can make a compelling case that the tools they're developing, the training they're providing, really is going to enable the community to perform more effectively in transformative research. One example of a programmatic area would be collaborations with the NSF-funded Natural Hazards Engineering Research Infrastructure, the Design Safe Cyber Infrastructure, that would focus on creating holistic computational models for future adaptive buildings, which experimental data and computational models for components are available at different scales, and creating workflows that link computational building models simulation codes and visualizations, and then making all these tools accessible to enable next generation researchers through the NERI Design Safe Cyber Infrastructure. So again, we're really looking at enhancing the capabilities of the CMMI community to use advanced computation and data effectively in fundamental research across the CMMI portfolio. And the next slide will be presented by Bogdan Mihaila, who's the Cognizant Program Officer for the MPS Directorate.
Thank you, Joe. MPS, much like the Geosciences Directorate, is not highlighting specific areas in the context of this solicitation. MPS is interested, however, in providing support for workshops and summer schools focused on training students and postdocs in computational methods on advanced computing architectures. We would expect that the high-performance computing and data analytics methods are being introduced in the context of specific scientific applications relevant to MPS communities. We encourage that the lectures are accompanied by problem sessions and hands-on activities on actual hardware, And we also encourage the community to make plans for sharing online the workshop materials and recording presentations on dedicated websites.
Thank you. So other Cognizant program directors could not be here, but their directorate programmatic areas of interest are in the solicitation. I actually urge you to listen to that as well. I just want to go through some of the frequently asked questions, and then we'll take questions from the audience. So the first question typically that we hear is, can my proposals address more than one track? So the answer would be yes. The intent is to identify the track that is closely aligned to the main thrust of your project while allowing overlaps with other tracks. Question two, is a consultation with a Cognizant program officer required? The answer, of course, is no. But it's strongly encouraged that you consult with me, the OIC, being in the lead for the solicitation, and any other Cognizant program officer at least a month in advance, and mention this in your project summary. Third question, can the duration of my project be fewer than 3 years? Answer is yes. The duration can be anywhere from 1 to 3 years. And finally, can my project primarily train or retrain for jobs in the IT industry? Answer is no. All proposals, including cybersecurity proposals, must be relevant to scientific research workforce development. So the keyword here is research and advanced cyber infrastructure. This relevance will, of course, vary from undergrads to grads to CI professionals and across disciplines. So this completes our slide presentation. Please note that this slide and the transcript for this webcast, as well as an audio recording, will be available at www.nsf.gov/events. That is EVENTS. Now we welcome your questions. You may also email to me at sprasad, sprasad, at nsf.gov. Thank you.
So we now open it up to questions from the phone while the operator is getting any questions from members of the audience. Actually, could the operator give instructions on how any questions could be asked?
Certainly. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your phone's keypad. Please press the prompt. If at any time your question has been answered and you are still in the queue, you can remove your request by pressing star two. Once again, that is star one for questions on the phone.
And one question came in through the chat of the message asking, can I be submit a proposal and serve on the review panel?
No, you may not.
And that is it for the questions that I've seen here. So we'll wait a minute or so for see if any questions come through the phone.
Thank you, sir. We do have one at this time from Douglas Drury. Your line is open.
Hi, I was wondering if there will be other opportunities to submit proposals after the February deadline.
So we are planning to actually have this competition on an annual basis. So the next opportunity, if you don't end up submitting in February, would be in the year after that. So that's 2019, roughly around the same time frame. But be on the lookout. One thing that I actually always tell the PIs, prospective PIs, to be on our mailing list. This OSC announced mailing list. If you're not, please be on it. That way, if we have more information, we can provide you.
And there's another question over the chat. That question asks, is every proposal required to collaborate with the domain STEM research division, i.e. outside OAC? That is, if a proposal is general across all STEM research domains, for example, training of CI professionals in a manner that benefits all STEM domains, is that proposal ineligible?
No. So clearly, the collaboration with all the domains or any domain is not a requirement. It could be that you have an OAC-specific proposal, which is fine as well. What I'm asking and what we are looking for is if there are potential overlaps in terms of research communities or the kind of training that you're providing with some other domain directorates, if you want to identify those and consult those program directors as well. And then for this purpose, I want to clarify, you know, the size divisions, for example, the CCF and IIS, the big data and spoke programs. For the matter of the, you know, for the purpose of the solicitation, they actually are domain directors for us.
Any other questions over the phone?
We have no responses at this time, but once again, that is star one if you would like to ask a question over the phone.
So there's another question over the chat. How do you distinguish between training and education? You mentioned specifically in the FAQ that projects with training focus is discouraged.
That was actually not the FAQ. So, but I just want to actually talk about the two aspects. So I think the first round of the solicitation was more explicit about training and less about education. And by training is the mostly the informal training, you know, things like workshops, things like competitions and institutes and such, those were emphasized. And now there's also an emphasis on the formal in classroom training. So we are looking at essentially the education through the classroom, you know, the curricular updates, and also the informal training, all of these potentially impacting, you know, the curriculum and also instructional material in a variety of settings.
Another question in the chat asks, is equipment purchase is allowed?
We want to actually limit that unless it's really justified, and that's true for most of the proposals that we entertain. But if you definitely need something that is needed for the training or education, you can justify that.
Any questions on the phone line?
We do have two responses. The first is from Joel Geet. Your line is open.
Yes, my question is, you already kind of addressed this with trying to move us to put more in about curriculum and how things are going to get moved into curriculum. But I was just curious, what are the other changes that have been made since the last round of this program?
So I talked about that in the previous slide. And also, if you look at the solicitation, you know, it actually lists at the very beginning as to what the key changes are. One of the things, I'll just actually go through this quickly since the question has been raised. You want to look at the PI and co-PI eligibility. So we want, depending on the project that you are mentioning, someone who is relevant to the research community that you are addressing and also someone who actually has expertise relevant to the OAC. So that's one thing to look at. We also would like to have an advisory board or a network of collaborators, funded or unfunded. Definitions of submission tracks have been slightly changed. They are more streamlined now. There are slight changes in the programmatic areas of interest, so you want to look through those. Also, there's a participation from the big data hub and spokes program. And also, if you look at the additional solicitation-specific criteria, those have been updated.
Another question over the phone.
Yes, our next one is from Sudhakar Pramadiganam.
Can this workforce development be targeted to an industry? I mean, of course, you said IT is ruled out, but there are other research industries, you know, maybe like chemical industry or, you know, something like that, or geo-based industry. Can the training on the cyber infrastructure tools and methods could be imported to any of these other industrial sector participants?
So I think we are not ruling out any sector. I think the key thing is that it should be around research, and that's the key word, right? So you know, if you actually have research workforce in industry or lab setting, I mean, those are all valid endeavors. We do want to have a focus on anything that you submit around how this enhances research workforce. That's one thing to keep in mind. And also how the advanced CI, advanced cyber infrastructure, how that is also impacted and how that is being exploited. As long as you have these two things, you know, the sector is really not ruled out at all. I mean, you can look at various kind of industries.
Thank you.
And so another question from the chat. Can you address the workshops aspect, for example, training students? Is that allowed or not?
So definitely it's allowed, and since I have other program directors here, maybe actually they can also answer. So Bogdan, you want to look at the workshop aspect?
Yeah, so what you mean by workshops essentially are activities like summer schools, for instance, where, you know, a particular subset of the graduate students in a particular field could be brought together to work with leading researchers in that particular area and talk about high performance computing, for instance, or data analytics or things of that nature. The idea is to use that particular setting to develop class, you know, materials that can be used by others in class and can be used by other students that were not present at that particular workshop, in order to enhance their HPC capabilities. So that's what we have in mind. Like Sushil said before, we are not really ruling anything out. We are just suggesting that we see this activity as being something that could build for, you know, essentially provide additional resources for students, researchers, postdocs, in order to carry out their work.
So we would also be interested, he did mention researchers, but we would also be interested in workshops that focus on some of these college concepts that we feel our community could benefit from that would enable them to participate much more effectively in some of the NSF data and computation activities. And we would like the materials that come out of that to be broadly shared so the individuals that don't participate in the workshop have a chance to benefit from this new knowledge as well.
All right, we have another question in the chat. Are you encouraging multi-institutional proposals?
So I talked about the collective impact, and there are many ways to do that, and clearly we want you to reach out to the, you know, other institutions as needed. It's not essential to have multi-institutional, but definitely that is, you know, encouraged. And the point really is to see how all these stakeholders who are important for your project, they are connected to you, you know, in some fashion, either funded or unfunded.
We can see if there's anyone else on the phone asking a question.
At this time, we have no responses, but once again, please press star one if you would like to ask a question over the phone.
All right, so over the chat, another question. Can you explain further this item from the project description in the solicitation, quote, plans for recruitment and assessment?
So, you know, if you happen to, for example, have a workshop or some other informal setting you want to train, we are interested in, first of all, knowing how you're going to be recruiting those individuals. Recruitment of both who are going to be instructors, those who will be actually taught, students or others who actually come and attend. So you want to talk about those plans and make sure that those are rigorously done and in a fair manner and also announced well. So that's one aspect. You also want to talk about how the evaluation would happen for the project itself, for the project methods, things that you're going to produce, any curricular items, any instructional material, all those things, how they would be evaluated. And so the paragraph that you're referring to has some detail. Also, there's a link to one of the NSF produced, I think there was a report on how to evaluate. So I'd like you to look at that as well.
Another question from the chat asking regarding slide 8, which is a short-term impact. Is every proposal required to cover all of these items, or can a proposal cover only a subset of these items?
So I mentioned that, you know, not all the projects will be addressing all the challenges.
Okay. Next question. Are junior faculty members who don't have that much in terms of related publications encouraged to apply for this program?
Definitely, yes. In fact, I would also like you to look at the last set of awards that we made, and you will see a range of different kinds of PIs at various levels of their career path. And so I think it's an invitation for you know, everyone to really participate in this new endeavor. And also talked about that we are not looking for research in education, so we are looking for everybody who actually is either researching or educating who can help move the needle.
Next question asks, can a co-PI be on more than one proposal that is not a PI? So I know PIs can only submit a single proposal.
So I think I'll have to refer you to the actual requirement. I'm going to just look at this.
I think similarly, there's another question asking, must the PI have a PhD?
Yes. So I see actually in the limit on number of proposals per PI or co-PI, that's actually one. So PI or co-PI, the limit is one. And what was the other question?
The next question is, must the PI have a PhD?
I don't think that's a requirement. You definitely want to have the expertise, but I don't think that is actually the key requirement here. On the other hand, you want to have also collaboration, right? You want to have enough collaboration to convince the review panel and us that this is going to be a very effective program that you're developing.
Any questions on the phone?
Had no further responses at this time, sir.
All right, so I'll keep going down the chat question. Can we fund travel costs for international students?
So are these students who are not US-based? Because one thing that I want to clarify is all the US, all the NSF funds can only be applied to US-based researchers and students. International collaboration definitely is encouraged in partnerships and other things that you can do. And there are ways that one can fund those who are not from US. They can fund from their own funding agencies in their own countries. So as long as you can make sure that the NSF funds are only used for students who are US-based, the projects are going to be viable.
Next question asks, would proposals targeting faculty, including high school faculty, be appropriate for this solicitation?
Yes.
All right. So
definitely if you look at high school education right now, for example, let's take the example of the new AP classes in computer science. There is actually a new AP computer science and principles, computer science principles that has just been created. So there are opportunities also from the high school level onwards and also there could be students who are actually in high school but also taking college classes. So there are a lot of opportunities to have a larger impact.
And I think this one question is a clarification regarding workshops, like summer workshops. Are they discouraged or encouraged? I think that was addressed earlier, but they were asking for clarification on whether it was one or the other.
It's part of the spectrum of activities, potential activities.
Okay. Next question regarding slide 10, solicitation-specific review criteria. Is every proposal required to cover all of these items, or can a proposal cover only a subset of these items?
So what happens with the review criteria, that the reviewers are going to look at all these aspects. Not everybody is going to be strong in every aspect, clearly, right? But you do want to touch on all of these. You will have your own emphasis. Some might actually have more emphasis on let's say collective impact. Some might actually have more emphasis on the kind of curriculum that you might be developing. Some might be looking at the scalability aspect and such, but all of these must be addressed. I mean, that's the key. So have the project, this write-up addressing each of these. In the end, what happens, and if you participated in the panels for review panels, you will be evaluated using everything that you have in the proposal, right? And so I would not say that every criteria has to be equally strong, but do address that.
And one question, I believe, for Dr. Culbertson, regarding slide 15, the engineering directorate, can you spell out what CMMI stands for?
It's the Division for Civil Manufacturing Innovation, Mechanical Manufacturing Innovation.
And let's see, is there, could we submit a proposal for review Oh, if it was, I guess, can we resubmit a proposal if it is not accepted at first?
Of course. And then, in fact, what we want to do, if it was submitted last time, is to look at the reviews, look at the panel summary, use all of that to really enhance it. And so we look forward to some submissions like that.
Let's check once more on the phone line. Is there anyone with a question on the phone? Anybody on the phone?
We have no responses at this time, sir.
Okay, thank you. Let's see, a couple more came in. Is release time allowed for faculty, i.e. summer salary?
Yes. So this actually is very generic. So you want to describe what the efforts are and justify the budget based on it. So you can have faculty supported, students supported, participants supported, and then, you know, if you need other things. So as long as you can justify based on what you're proposing, all of those are allowed.
So one more question. There are a number of activities involved in CI training that can be tied to the concept of, quote, curriculum and instructional material. Can you provide insight on what aspects of curriculum you're most interested in seeing improved through this solicitation?
So I think it's also tied to the broader goal, the longer-term goal. We do, in fact, as the community sees, there have been a struggle in terms of trying to get computational and data science, but especially computational science, into the curriculum fabric of, you know, all the things that we see throughout the university. So that's one of the things that we really want to see, those disciplines which had less CI adoption, those tiers and institutions who actually have not been able to exploit what is available in terms of advanced CI and computational and data science. We want to look at those specific disciplines, specific tiers and institutions, and see how their curriculum can be impacted. So that's really the broader goal. And so as you do any of these activities, you clearly have some kind of training, some kind of education activity that you're proposing. It's actually something that we want to look at very carefully, what you produce, how they will become a template for others to use. So not just your group or your workshop, but how others actually can emulate what you have done, what resources you produce, how that has been vetted. And that's where the collective impact also comes in. You want to have this a very good quality that could be adopted, that could potentially even inform. I'm also looking at the professional societies who sometimes are responsible for the curricular reforms, curricular updates. And so depending on where you are and what your objectives are, at various levels, you could inform the curricular or instructional materials. And that is one of the solicitation-specific criteria also, and that's a new emphasis.
Are there any more questions on the phone?
Once again, if you would like to ask a question on the phone, please press star 1. At this time, there are no responses, sir.
All right. We have things keep coming in through the Q&A system on the chat here. I'll try to get through as many as we can. I think we only have a couple more minutes left.
We have 10 minutes.
So we'll get through as many as we can in the time allotted. Next question, how do I prove myself as an expert in this field? To be specific, suppose I've started teaching high-performance computing and got some ideas to engage students in some collaborative research with other departments. But as I am in the early phase of my endeavor, I don't have good research publications. In that case, what would be your suggestion?
So I would say basically, it's actually up to the review panel. And so what you want to do as a PI is to show that you have the experience and also some preparation. That can be shown either by how you describe the project, also what your CV is. In your case, you said you actually have been doing certain things. So it's not just the publication, but also it could be the other artifacts which you have potentially been developing, the courses that you have been involved with, maybe curricular activities that you have done, workshops that you might have conducted. So there are a variety of activities here. You want to essentially impress upon the reviewers that you are capable of conducting the project that you are describing.
And from my perspective, it would really be having the proposal make a compelling case that it's going to enhance the value of our researchers, catalyze new, potentially transformative fundamental research.
All right, next question. Are non-academic institutions less likely to get a grant since most previous awards are granted to universities?
So, not true. I mean, clearly we are trying to reach out to all sorts of institutions. I think I would encourage definitely consultation as well as submission. And what might happen, and that actually happens if you look at other programs also, is those who have been doing some activities, who actually have some backgrounds, who have done some things which they are a little bit already in the loop, and then they may actually have higher rate of success. But we are looking for, in fact, that's one of the things that I talked about in the very beginning, trying to reach to the disciplines as well as to the institutions and to the groups who have not had good CI adoption. So we are trying to reach, and that's one of the things that we also are looking through solicitation-specific criteria. And so that really makes the ground even for those who are not from academia.
So next question, are there any particular studies, reports, or policy documents motivated this particular revision of the call?
So we have been looking at, of course, some of the reports, for example, NSCI, and in fact, I mentioned some of those in the prior slide. Also, if you look at the solicitation, there are some reports which are mentioned. Most recently, we also had within OSC, for example, we had some of these feedback that we got, the 2013, for example. So we have been looking at variety of input from reports, from other workshops that we have conducted, from the community that has given feedback, also the last round of competition for the cyber training itself. Those all have been employed to see where we need to go forward. And then we are going to be nimble as we go forward.
Next question asks, is it acceptable if some funds are allocated to an industrial partner if their statement of work is appropriate to the solicitation?
Yes.
Next question, could the CI user track proposals include their interdisciplinary programs that would reach non-computer science majors to engage them in better CI usage? For example, business majors to make better decisions in data use, protection, and cybersecurity.
So I just want to clarify, this is not just for computer science students, right? And so we are looking at the entire domain, right? And that's why I have my colleagues here who are representing other domains. This is a cross-cutting program. We have participation from, MPS. We have participation from engineering, from GEO, also from EHR, the Education Directorate. So we are looking at the large community, the STEM community. And if there are also some other communities that you have in mind, that's actually where the consultation comes in. So you want to send, email us, and then we want to look at that.
All right, and I believe that's it for questions from the chat. Are there any further questions from the phone?
We do have one, sir, from Carolyn Ellis. Your line is open.
Hi, we have a question here. Does this program allow submission of collaborative proposals?
Yes.
We can submit for multiple institutions.
Yes, you can.
All right. If there are no further questions, I think we are finished here.
Well, so I really want to thank the listeners and also my colleagues here who have made this happen. So we are looking forward to your emails and consultation, and we'll be actively looking through the applications and so on. So let's get started. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for your participation on today's conference call. At this time, all parties may disconnect.